ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ यथाकाशो हृषीकेशो हृषीकेशो नानोपाधिगतो विभुः उपाधिगतो विभुः तद्भेदाद्भिन्नवद्भाति तन्नाशे केवलो भवेत् केवलो भवेत् Before going to this verse, I want to remind you of what I said in the previous classes. Initially, what was the reality, Brahman, one, non-dual, secondless, limitless, real truth alone was. You can say the reality alone was, or you can say I was a limitless reality. You can say I, the limitless reality, alone was. You can say, I was or Brahman was. When you say I was, you mean what? You mean you are reality. Your identity is not with body, mind and complex. Get it what I'm saying? Then, this reality alone was, how then the only reality became many, became, how the plurality came into existence, how one became many. Then we say that reality has power, shakti, and that shakti, the power, is not something possessed by it. Shakti, the power, is something inseparable from that reality. And that power is dormant, potentially there in that reality. Like what? When the river is flowing, a big river is flowing, huge river is flowing, there is a force potentially dormant in that river water. You don't see the power. You see the river flowing. You don't see the power of the water. You cannot see the power of the water through your physical eyes. You just see the river is flowing. But there is a power. The water has power. The water has the force. That power, that force is unmanifest. And when it rains heavily, the floods come. Like in Japan, the water just goes all over. The force of the water causes so much of damage. Then can you say the water's force alone damaged, caused a big damage? Do you say that or not? We do say water's force caused big damage. But do you agree there is force or not? Can you say force is not there at all? No. Can you say the water stood somewhere, water's force alone went and destroyed? Can you say that? No. So you cannot say force is not there at all. But you cannot say force is something which exists independent of the water. No. There is something called force, water's force, which cannot be said to be real because it doesn't exist independently without the water. It cannot be counted as a second thing plus water. You can't say water and the force went and caused damage. You cannot say, because they are not two different things. Nor can you say there is no force at all. That's why what are you going to call it? It is neither a real, it is not real. It cannot take it as an independent reality, parallel reality. Nor can you say it is a non-existent thing, because it is very much there. It is called mithya. You can say with reference to water is the satyam, reality, and the force is mithya. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is it another an order of the same reality? It is not a parallel reality, but it is an order of the same reality. Like that, you cannot count them as two different things. You have to say the truth, what is there is just the water. You can never say water and its force both existed. Water was. Water had the force. Water's force was there. Which is not separable, it is not separately countable. Similarly, Brahman, the reality, the limitless reality alone was, and the reality had its power, Shakti, which is otherwise called avidya, maya. The Shakti is called given a name. Why the Shakti is called maya? Because it is not really, it is as though. As though means what? It has no independent existence. And that Shakti is of what now? It has two aspects. One aspect of that power is called Vikshepa Shaktihi. And another aspect of that power is called Avarna Shaktihi. And when the Vikshepa Shaktihi is called power of projection or power of creation, the creative power or projecting power. When it starts operating, the whole universe, the power alone, that power, but no, projects the whole universe. How power in the water? Water has its own force, which could bring about what now? That alone creates the bubbles. So this power alone, what now, really creates this universe. The whole universe becomes projected or becomes manifest or becomes thrown up because of this Maya Shakti, Vikshepa Shakti. And the projection of the universe itself is what now? First superimposition. It's called Prathamika Adhyasaha. I told you last class. It's called Prapancha Adhyasaha or Prathamika Adhyasaha. Now what is superimposed? Now the universe is what now? Superimposed upon the Brahman. The first thing. And thereafter, once this universe becomes projected, then the Avarna Shakti, it covers the difference between what now? Brahman and the projected universe, the Nama Rupa. Okay, when this difference is covered, it's like covering the difference between the name and form ocean and the water. Aviveka, isn't it? So that the difference is covered, then there is confusion. Confusion is, what is the confusion? One is mistaken for the other. One being mistaken for the other is confusion. One being mistaken for the other. What is real is mistaken for the... What is real is mistaken for the mithya, mithya thing. What is mithya is mistaken for the reality, real thing. A real thing is mistaken for the mithya thing. A mithya thing is mistaken for the real thing. When does it happen? When the confusion is. When does the confusion come? When the Avarna Shakti now operates. When does it operate? After the Vikshepa Shakti creates the universe. When the Avarna Shakti operates, what happens? It covers. It covers the difference between the reality and the manifest Nama Rupa. The whole Jagat is manifest name and form, nothing else. The power which was dormant, is it? When it projected this universe, it's just the name and form added to the already existing dormant power. So this one, the what is real becomes mithya, and what is mithya becomes real. That is called what? Anyonya Adhyasaha. Anyonya Adhyasaha. And how do you understand this? What is Anyonya Adhyasaha? When you say this whole universe, when you say whole universe, which has been projected, which has been created, which has been brought into manifestation, this whole universe is what? Just the name and form. You have to remember one thing. Anything which is an effect or product is mithya. Okay? Effect is name and form. Any effect is nothing but a name and form added to the cause. Anything which is name and form is mithya. which has no independent existence. And anything which is mithya is as good as non-existent. This you are going to see in the Taittiriya class also. This you have to remember this order. Therefore, what is this whole universe? Whole universe is as though it is as good as non-existent. Why? Because it is mithya. Why? Because there is no independent existence. Why? Because it is mithya. Why? Because it is just the name and form. You have to come from here. The whole universe, you should not say it is non-existent. It is not unreal. What is this universe then? This universe is as good as non-existent. That why? Because it has no independent existence of its own. Why? Because it is mithya. Nitya means what? Borrows its existence. That means what? It's just the name and form. Why it is name and form? Because it is an effect. It is effect of what? Effect of the Shakti. Shakti is the cause. The Shakti, when it was dormant, it was called Maya. It became manifest, it is called Prapancha. Okay? Vikshepa Shakti. When the power was dormant and potential, potentially inseparable, it was dormant. Even now it is inseparable only. It is called Maya. The power, it becomes the manifest as the universe, it is called what? It becomes manifest, it is called Prapancha. Manifest power is called Prapancha. Potential power is called Maya. Is it clear? Now what is this universe? Universe is mithya. But now how do we see the universe? This universe is very, very real. The universe is very real means, why do we say here? When the universe means, universe includes what? Universe includes your physical body, mind, sense, complex also. Doesn't it? When you say the whole cosmos is mithya, it is as good as non-existent, means it includes what? Your body, mind, sense, complex also. But how do we take this body, mind, sense, complex as real? How do we take this universe, for universe is very much real? We do not see the universe as it is mithya. We see the universe as something very real. Okay? This is what now? This is what is trans... Okay? It is called anyonya dhyasa. What is real? The reality, the status of being real belongs to the true reality. Brahman, isn't it? That says given to what now? The universe. Now what is universe? Universe is mithya. Now when one mistakes oneself for the body, then what happened now? The self is given the status of being, the self which is real, is given the mithya status. Isn't it? Mistake the reality, the self, for mithya body, and mistake the mithya universe inclusive of the body mind complex for the real universe. This is called anyonya adhyasaha. Have I made it clear or not? Therefore, and not only that, now we say here, this is the basic things mistake has happened. Now, so many, not only one individual here, so many subtle bodies, so many beings also are there. All of them also exist where? Not only this, the universe means what? All the different beings also exist only in that Brahman. When the whole Prapancha exists in Brahman means all the beings exist in that Brahman. So every being which is there also becomes a vyakti adhyasaha. You superimpose so many things upon Brahman, isn't it? Thereafter, so he says, yatha akashaha. We have come to this verse now. Yatha akashaha. How one became many? How that the individuality, how the Brahman got his individuality, the status of being the individual? He says, it is because of the upadhis. So in this context, you will know what the word upadhi means. Now he gives example of akashaha. Akashaha, yatha akashaha. What is this akasha, space? The very word space is a beautiful word. Asamantat kashate iti akashaha. Asamantat kashate. Kashate means shines. That which shines everywhere. That which is everywhere. There is no place where space is not. Where whichever place you go, that place is space. எங்கும் விளங்குவதால் அதற்கு பேரு எங்கும் விளங்குவதுன்னு பேரு ஆகாசத்துக்கு. That which shines everywhere, that is the meaning of the word akasha. That which shines everywhere, that in which everything shines. That is why Brahman also, there is one word for akasha also means Brahman in some other context. Akasha means a space. See, I tell you, even our scientists have not yet arrived at about the space also, they have not yet arrived at correctly things. It's still under discussion and still under, experimentation. Really, people are still thinking about the space, about the truth of the space. So this akashaha, we all know, it is one. Akashaha is one. And this akashaha is spatially limitless. What is the nature of the space? The space is of the nature of limitlessness. How it is limitless? In terms of space, spatially limitless. Space is the only thing which is spatially limitless. Why do we say spatially limitless? There is no place where space is not. If a space is sitting in one place and space is not there elsewhere, then you can say space is spatially limited. Space is spatially limitless because there is no place where space is not. And this limitless, spatially limitless, all-pervasive space which shines everywhere, in which everything, all the objects exist in the space. There is no object which is outside of space. That is why space is called avakasha pradata, all-accommodative. Space is called all accommodative, spatially limitless. What now? Element. It's an entity. People don't ever think of space as an entity, know that? And this space, we all know very well, it's one. We will never talk about the second, the two spaces, three spaces, we will never say. Space is a ever singular word, one. And this space has no parts, it is partless. Space has no parts, like head, hands, legs. Like that, different parts are not there. nir-avayava space. Nir-avayavaha akashaha. Sarvagataha akashaha. Ekaha akashaha. Only space, all pervasive space. Ananta akasha. Space, limitless space. Niravayavaha space is spotless. It is divisible, it is spotless. Because it is spotless, it is indivisible also. Space is spotless. If it is partful, then part by part you can divide it. Because it is spotless, does what? Indivisible. So, sarvagataha, sarvavyapi, ekaha, is it? Avakasha pradata, all accommodative, nirvisesha, niravayava. Therefore, abhinna also. Abhinna means indivisible. Indivisible, partless, whole is the space. Is it clear? And all the objects, everything else exists in space. All the houses, all the buildings, all the versions, all everything exists in space. But what happens sometimes? The objects which exist in space, they are many. They are different from each other. The objects which exist in space occupy space. They are different from each other. They are many. They throw their, what they do? They give their attribute to the space. What is the distance between space and the object existing in the space? No distance. Whichever object exists in space is not distant from space. In fact, no object which exists in space can ever be away from space. Wherever an object exists, it exists inseparably from space. Inseparable from space. There is no distance. Is it clear? Therefore, how close is the space and the object? Inseparably close. You have to say this. Every object which exists in space, which occupies the space, is distancelessly, inseparably nearest, close to this space. Isn't it? How close? How close is the mic and the space? My God, there's no distance. How close is the body and the space? How close is the book and the space? How close is these walls and the space? No object which exists in space is ever distant from space. Ever close, ever near. Got it? But what they do, because the objects which exist in space are different from each other, they are many, and they give their attributes to the space. Manyness belongs to the objects, attribute of the objects. Understand? Limitation belongs to every object. And each object is what now? Divisible. Each object can be what now? Is being different from every object, being different from every other object. Differences belong to the objects. Difference also what now? Next attribute. Okay? Bahutvam belongs to the objects. Being many is the nature of the objects, isn't it? Then, being difference also what now? Being different from each other is the nature of the objects. Difference. Bedaha. And every object being, every object is what now? It's a constitution of many, many parts. Every object is what now? Every object formed. Every object is partful. Is made of many parts, many components. Put together is every object. Okay? Therefore, that partful, isn't it? Therefore, every object is what? Divisible also. Because it is partful, it has many parts, it is divisible. Everything can be divided. Divisible means what now? It can be separated, separable and divisible. Separable and divisible. It's clear. So, all the divisibility, separability, differences, manyness, all these are what now? Are the attributes belonging to the objects existing in space. Now what do they do? Their attributes, the attributes belonging to the objects, what now? Are given to, transferred to the space. Is it clear now? How they transfer, we'll see here. When these walls, each wall is an object existing in space, isn't it? And these walls together occupy this space. The walls themselves stand in space. The whole building stands in space. It occupies the space, it envelops the space, exists in space. Occupying, enveloping, existing in space. These walls and these houses, these buildings, what do? They seemingly divide the space. They do not really divide the space. They cannot divide the space. Because space is already, we know, indivisible. But it's still, even though space is indivisible, the indivisible space seems to have been divided. The seeming division, isn't it? Seems to be divided. And what do we say now? It gives the name. Hall space. Kitchen space. Toilet space. Puja room space. Playground space. Garden space. Bedroom space. Now how many spaces? All these qualifications have come for the space. Before, the space was unqualified pure space. Even now, the space continues to be what? Pure space only. But now, how did the space get this qualification? Kitchen space, hall space, adjectives have come to the space, isn't it? The qualifications which have come because of these walls which stand in the space. Really speaking, now we have to say, are there many spaces as kitchen space, bathroom space, puja room space? Really speaking, there are not many spaces. Even the expression is wrong. Yes, space has been divided by all the walls. You can think that way. Really speaking, it seems to have divided. Really speaking, space is indivisible. Because the walls themselves stand in space. How can they divide the space? Got it now? But still, why now? Because of this, what happened? Space seems to be many. One space seems to have become many spaces, as kitchen space, etc. And indivisible has become as though it has been divided now. Seems to have been divided. And seems to have become many. Many now. Many spaces. Why? Because these walls, the objects exist in space. Their attributes have been transferred to the space. And have they really transferred? No. Really, they have not transferred. Really, the space has not become many. But it seems to have become many, isn't it? The space has not really become many, but seems to have become many. Seemingly many, not really many. Therefore, the objects which exist in space have transferred their attributes to the space, but not really transferred. Really, space has not become many, but falsely transferred. Okay? And why? How they could transfer? Because there's no distance between space and the objects also. Samipam. Okay? Therefore, these three things you have to remember. Now we say, all these objects, the walls, buildings, etc., which stand, exist in space, occupying the space, are said to be upadhis for this space. So now what is the upadhi? Upadhi means, you have to remember three aspects. Three things. What are they? Upa means near. The object is inseparably, distancelessly near the upahitam, near something. And so that object throws its or transfers its attributes also. Transference of attributes. It transfers its attributes. It is near the vastu. Is it near the? Near something. It must be near. It must be transferring its attributes. Then the transference must not be real transference. It's a false transference. So what is upadhi? These objects exist in space, the walls, etc., the rooms, etc., buildings, etc., are the upadhis. For upahitam, space is upahitam. Upahitam, upadhi. You should know the difference. The technical word. What is upadhi? What is upahitam? Space is the upahitam. The walls are the rooms are the upadhis. Now, these rooms, why do I say upadhi? Upadhi means that an object, some that which transfers its attributes falsely to something which is near. Upadhiyate asmin iti upadhi. Upadhiyate anena iti upadhi, isn't it? So upa means near. So now she can understand. Upadhi must be something which is, upadhi is that which transfers its attributes. And it transfers attributes to something very near. And the transference is not real transference, false transference. Is it clear now? Now what has the room done to the what has it transferred? The rooms have transferred their attributes to the space. How? Falsely, isn't it? Not really transferred. The name. Name, part, space. Name belongs to what now? The Namarupa. The name and form belongs to the object which exists in the space. Part, space means, there is no such thing as part, space. But the part, the name and form has been given to what now? Belonging to the part is given to the space. And manyness also, oh, many spaces, as the spaces become many spaces. Division, isn't it? It's all attributed now. Similarly, now I tell you, again, one more example for the upadhi, it become very clear. Upadhi upahitam. What is upahitam? That upon which the attributes are falsely transferred is called upahitam. That by which the attributes are falsely transferred is called upadhi. Is it clear? And that it cannot transfer its attributes falsely to something which is very far. Is it clear now? Give one more example here. Now, we have a beautiful crystal or we have glass container. You glass container, we are filling the glass container with multicolored petals of roses. When you come from there, or I can fill the glass container with the colorful even marbles. And you enter there, oh, where did you get this beautiful, colorful glass container? Now I say, the glass container is not colorful. It is plain, crystal, clear glass. It's a crystal glass. It's a crystal, clear glass container. Plain, clear glass. It has no color or whatsoever. How does it look colorful? Because it looks colorful. It is not colorful because it is filled with colorful petals. So, what happened now? The colorful petals are the upadhis for the glass container. Why? Because the color, the petals cannot transfer their color to something which is far. If the container was there, the petals were here, the color cannot be transferred. Upa near, isn't it? Therefore, the petals are very in close to this container, and the petals have transferred their color to the container, glass container, and makes the glass look colorful. But the transference of colors is not real, it is false. Why? Because, oh, it has become colorful. I don't like this color in the glass. Let me wash it. So you put the flowers and take it. I don't need to wash the container to remove the color. That means what? The color has not really been transferred, but falsely transferred. Prida, it's called false transference of attributes, one's own attributes. Understand? To something which is close or near, distancelessly near, is called what now? Upadhi. Is it clear? You understand the word upadhi. எந்த ஒரு பொருள் தன் அருகில் இருக்கின்ற மற்றொரு பொருள் மீது தன்னுடைய இயல்புகளை இல்லையா கொடுப்பது போல் கொடுக்கிறதோ மாற்றுவது போல் மாற்றுகிறதோ இட்ஸ் கால்ட் உபாதிகி. This example must be clear than space. Isn't it clear? Because space is very subtle. That's why I want to use this word also. You need to think of space. Because space is subtle. The flower, petal, and glass are very easy. Isn't it? Space is a beautiful example actually. We'll think about it again next week. Now I just wanted to go do the verse. Similarly here also, what do we say? What does the verse say now? There are all these Namarupani, all these forms. All varieties of forms, of varieties of beings, living things, non-living things, mobile, immobile beings, all of them, subtle and gross, all these different forms with the different names, all of them which exist shine in the reality. All of them have become upadis for Brahmatma. Have you given now, understood now? How many are there here? Objects, all the whole prapancha is what now? Is actually nothing but innumerably countless objects, countless names and forms. Namarupani. So all these objects, all these names with different forms, all of them, everything becomes what now? Upadhi for Brahman, the Atma. So what do they do? These names and these forms with the different forms, with the different names, which shine in Brahman, which exist in Brahman, which are dependent on Brahman for the existence, they throw their attributes, they transfer their attributes, not really, falsely, to Brahman, the Atma. This is how, Brahman, the reality, only reality, all-pervasive reality, indivisible reality, partless reality, indivisible, partless, whole, the only reality, seems to have been divided and become many because of the upadhis. Pujaja. Therefore, what he says now, if we remove the upadis, then again you can understand how Now, Brahman alone will be there. It's like saying, water is the upahitam, ocean, every form, wave, with every name, wave, is what now? Nama, rupa, waves are upadis for the water. Ocean itself is a name and form, upadi for the water. And you say there are so many waves. In fact, water is one. Water is non-different one. But now it seems to be divided. It seems to have become many. Because of the upadi, the namarupa. Now, what the Upanishad, this verse says here, if you remove those upadis, you can understand the truth alone will be there. When you destroy these upadis, truth alone will be there. That means next question comes. Do we really need to destroy the upadis, or is the destruction possible at all? No. Destruction is impossible. You need not destroy those upadis, but you can cognitively resolve those upadis. But understanding the upadi being upadi, upahitam, isn't it? Understand. When you understand, you can resolve the upadis. Once you resolve, cognitively remove the upadis. You have to say, there are 10 rooms in this house. All these walls stand in this space. Really speaking, space is what now? All these walls also what now? Space only. Walls also are space. All the rooms are space. All the buildings are space. All those objects which stand in space are nothing but space. It's called cognitively removing the upadis. You don't need to undo them. Don't need to go and destroy all the, demolish all the room houses to know what the space is. Space alone is there. Isn't it? Take away the space. What will happen to the... You can't take the space, but still, imagine. What will happen to the walls? Understand? Therefore, without... Okay, let me come. Somebody comes and rolls the space. What will happen? That's what, okay, sometimes the earthquake happens, then you know, the space is little bit of space is folded, and then earthquake, and then you know what, how buildings fall and all that. What I want to understand, we don't need to remove them really, without removing, cognitively understand how all of them are what now. There's no such thing called, okay, what is there is only... Space is one indivisible, partless whole. Similarly, because of these upadis alone, all these names and forms, upadis, and these upadi attributes of the upadis are falsely transferred to the Brahmatma, the reality. These upadis themselves dependent on the Brahmatma for their existence. But they transfer their attributes, not really, falsely to the Atma. Then Atma seems to be many and divided. But if you understand these upadis, upadis will resolve. Understanding what the upadi is what? Resolving the upadi in its truth. Understanding what the wave is what? Resolving the name and form Upadhi in the water. Is it clear now? So if you understand what these Upadhis are, Upadhis will become resolved. That's called destruction of Upadhis. Okay? There's no real destruction of Upadhis. Then you understand what is there is only Paramatma. How to understand what these Upadhis are, how you can resolve the Upadhis in Paramatma, and thereby understand what is there is only Paramatma, nothing else. To understand this fact, we have to go to the next verse. Let us see this verse alone and we will see this. She says, Yatha kasho hrishikesho. Nanopadhigato vibhu. So, yatha akashaha. Yatha akasha means just as the space. I have to add supply, okay? Mantra says only, sloka says only, yatha akasha. Eppadi akashamo. Just as the space. Just as the space, one indivisible, partless, attributeless, partless whole, the space, becomes divisible, becomes as though divided and many, because of the objects existing in the very space. Similarly, Hrishikeshaha. Okay, you have to say Hrishikeshaha means Paramatma. Paramatma, you can say the absolute reality Paramatma is called Hrishikeshaha. Hrishikam means sense organ. And Ishaha means the Lord of senses. Why Paramatma is called Lord of senses? That you will understand some other context. In Bhagavad Gita, the word comes often, because the one without whose presence the senses cannot function as senses. Is it clear? He is called Lord of the senses. Hrishikeshaha means one of the names of the Paramatma, Bhagavan, Paramatma, the reality. Yatha akashaha, just like the space, which is indivisible, partless whole, seems to be divided in many, appear to be many. So also, this Paramatma, the Brahmatma, Hrishikeshaha, being only indivisible, partless whole, the reality, the secondless non-dual reality, you have to add the secondless non-dual reality. Now what now? The one who shines as everything is what now? Nana upadhi gataha vibhu. Having many upadhis, obtaining in many upadhis, I don't want to use any English word for the Upadhi, okay? Because Upadhi has these three aspects, it should fulfill these three conditions. Upadhi means what now? That which transfers its attributes. And the second, the transference of attributes is false. And it can transfer the attributes only to something which is very near. So near transference of attributes and false transfers. The three are the conditions for something to be Upadhi. Pridha. Therefore he says, but I don't want to use any other word. English word won't be nice. Upadhi, this Paramatma, the absolute reality, the limitless, non-dual, secondless reality, one indivisible, partless whole also, what now? Obtaining in different Upadhis, because of his Upadhis, what now? tad bedat, due to the difference in the upadis. Tad bedat means what? Bedat means due to the difference. Difference in what? Due to the difference, due to the differences, due to differences of the upadis. Due to the differences in upadis, difference in upadis. This upahita chaitanya atma, in it, this atma obtaining in these upadis also, bhinnavat bhati, as though shine appears to be divided. It is not really divided. Paramatma is not really divided because it is indivisible. But what now? Bhinnavat, vat means like. Whenever you say like, what does it mean? Not really, isn't it? Bhinnavat vati means as though it is divided. Like indivisible space seems to be divided because of the rooms and buildings, the upadis. So also, the indivisible, secondless, non-dual reality, Paramatma also, seems to be divided and appear to be many because of the upadis. ஒரே பரம்பொருள் பலவாக ஏன் காணப்படுகிறது, பலவாக தோன்றுவது ஏன்? Why the only reality appear to be many? Why there seems to be many? Why the reality seems to be divided? Appear to be divided and appear to be many. Appear to be divided and appear to be many. Why the only water appear to be many and divided? What is the big deal? Because of the names and forms, waves, upadis. Why the only indivisible space appear to be divided and many? Because of the upadis, the rooms and buildings and the objects exist in the space. Why Brahmatma Hrishikeshaha appear to be divided and many? Because of the difference in upadis. Tad bedat. Tad bedat means upadi bedat. Because upadis are many. Upadis are many. Upadis are different. Different upadis, many upadis. Therefore, what now? Tad bedat. Due to the difference in upadis. What now? This upahita, this atma chaitanyam obtaining in this upadis also seems to be or seemingly divided and appears to be many. Is it clear? Seeming is seemingly divided and is appearing to be many. Purushita. But what happens? He says, Tannashe kevalaha bhavet. Tannashe means what? When those upadis are destroyed, then Atma being, only Atma alone, Atma being the only secondless reality, what now? Atma alone will be there. That means what? Do you need to destroy those? Please understand. The nashaha should not be mistaken for destruction. Upadis need not be destroyed. Upadis cannot be destroyed. But you can understand what an upadi is. In understanding what an upadi is, upadi will be resolved. Is it clear now? When upadis are resolved, you understand reality alone, but no, Brahman alone is real. Brahman alone is there. Like what? When you understand all these waves are nothing but names and of different forms, really speaking, they do not have independent existence. Therefore, all the waves are water. When you say upadis become resolved. All these walls themselves stand in space. They do not have independent existence outside of space. Really speaking, they cannot divide the space. Even the walls need space to stand for themselves. When you understand, space alone, space being one, space alone is there. Is it clear now? Similarly, you understand Atma alone. Then Kevalaha, Kevalo Bhavet means what now? Then Brahman, the Atma alone is. When you cognitively resolve the upadis. How do you resolve the upadis cognitively? By understanding how upadis are mithya. You understand what upadhi is. Upadhi is mithya and upadhi is this, how they look, these are many. So, tad bedat. Upadhis are many. Is it clear now? Am I clear or confused? So, tad bedat bhinnavat bhati. Tan nashe kevalaha bhavet. Now, he is going to talk about the different upadis. We will do in the next class. He says, I can do one more thing. Nanopadivashadeva. By the time he finished his verse, book, you will understand thoroughly upadi, adhyasa, everything. He is very slow and steady and gives lots of examples.
Jati varna shramadaya. Atmanya ropita stoye. Rasa varna di bedavat.
Okay. So, see what happens. I'll just give the example here. I won't go to the verse, whole verse. Take the water. Water has no taste of its, no other taste. And no color also. Water is tasteless and colorless. Colorlessness is the nature of the water. Tastelessness is the taste of the water. But it's tasteless, colorless water. We can't say, no, only in Coimbatore we have colorful water. I can say tastiest water. But not the colorful water, you see. Really. In the whole of Asia they say it's the second whole world. Tastiest water I can say. But I cannot say colorful water, you know. On that. No, because Dr. Valsa is laughing because he thinks, oh, no, that's not true. Cochin, we have much better water, he is thinking. He is from Cochin, you see.
We cannot say that.
Okay. And Pratik is thinking, oh, no, Gujarat water is better water and all that. And even though we don't go to Sri Lanka, but still Sri Lankan water is better also, they say, no, all salty, suttulum kadal. Anyway, so what I want to say here, even though water is, what now, it has no color of its own, no taste of, isn't it? It doesn't have any taste. But what happens, you can mix it, make the water tasty water by adding something. What now? Add the sugar, sweet water. Add the salt, salty water. Add the sour taste, sour water. Add something bitter in it, bitter water, like Rodney G's coffee. No, he's not drinking. Before, okay, old alien days. Bitter water, sweet water, sour water, salty water. Isn't all the qualifications, adjectives, water becomes qualified. the qualified water. No, isn't it? This unqualified water is called pure water. The qualified water is what? Contaminated water. Mixed water, isn't it? Similarly, the water has no color, but what you do, add some colors, like holy time, no? In India, we put all colors. Add turmeric powder, yellow water, manjal neer. Add something, coffee powder, brown water. And some other different color powders, the water becomes different. Pink water, red water, rose water, you know, green water, blue water. Are there different colored waters? No. Water is pure. Water has no color of its own. Pure water has no taste of its own. Pure water is what now? But what happens when these colors are added to the water, then water becomes colorful water. The tastes are added to the water becomes tasteful water. Is it tasty water? How the mixing of colors and tastes make the water make the water colorful and tasteful. Similarly, all these different upadhis superimposed upon the Atma also make the Atma what now? Non-dual Atma, secondless Atma appear to be many. I like this Atmabodha so much. Know why? Every verse gives one example. Like what? Akashaha iva. Is it clear? What will do when I come back next class? I'll start with the 11th verse. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.